Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
The smartest man alive and the first man? Are you the first man?
Adam, but not okay. Me, Adam. Much in the same way that I'm not the Adam that ruins everything, I'm also not the first man, Adam.
And this first man is man in space.
Yes. Yes, quite. I have always been a fan of like space related things. If you've had a conversation with me that's lasted more than 5 minutes, I have a fascination with Star Trek. I have a fascination with Stargate.
Really?
I enjoy Babylon 5, Deep Space. Like,
by the way, your sister's photos in New Zealand are killing me.
Yeah, like standing in
the Hobbity
in the
goodness.
Shire. Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty sure. Yeah. I've given Bag End. She was standing in Bag End. I know.
Anyway.
Whenever they did the From the Earth to the Moon miniseries on HBO, like I was in the bag for that. Like Apollo 13, like stuff like that has always fascinated me. And not necessarily the science of it, maybe some of the science fiction of it, but like space travel from a very early age. Like when I didn't even realize like where the line blurred between fiction and reality, It all fascinated me. Like when we would, I got to go to the Space Center in Alabama when I was a kid, like got to get harnessed up and like moonwalk.
Really?
Yeah. Like this kind of stuff has like it was just something that has permeated in my mind and my brain. Like even now, like if I find a documentary about something, they'll just be like, blah, 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 the Mars rover. Like I will sit down and watch that thing. Like It just the same way that Westerns fascinated my father. If you want to talk about space, you've got my attention for at least 10 minutes.
Easily.
And like, I mean, sometimes Tom Hanks is there, like, you know, sometimes William Shatner's there, whatever. Like real, fake, documentary, fantasy. I just like space.
Well, the drama from a writing potential is so huge in the space travel as we know it, because you're put in a confined space. You're just
limited
propelled
resources.
Out there. It's like, good luck, buddy, and we hope you come back. And it's terrifying, and yet when they pull it off, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's man versus nature. One of your classic like storytelling like tropes. There, like man overcoming, and like I said, if you don't know a lot about space, I'm going to assume that you at least know that it's a vacuum. Like there's no air out there. Like
I've heard that in space, no one can hear you scream.
Speaking of which, another thing that fascinated me as a child, aliens, like aliens in general and Aliens the movie specifically.
So this story is, is this the story of the actual space landing or is it the story of how Hollywood faked it?
Stanley Kubrick was not available to direct that movie, but I'm going to tell you right now, if Stanley Kubrick directed a movie about him directing the moon landing, oh.
That'd be interesting.
I would in like Flint.
Oh, and by the way, people who think that the space landing was faked, you're an idiot. Okay, let's go on.
Though I will say, I love a good conspiracy theory. Like, even if I don't believe it, I love hearing about why it's true. And like, I don't believe the moon landing was faked, but I would watch a television show that explained how they did it.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, if you wanted to set up the reality that the government did do that, that story fascinates me.
As it did Tracy Morgan on 30
yeah.
Rock.
Well, yes. to great comic appeal.
Okay,
but no, this is about how they actually landed on the moon. And I mean, like, it starts with Armstrong flying planes. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not even a part of NASA yet. Like,
is there even a NASA at this point?
I think it there is, but it's not in the way that you and I think of NASA. Like, this is about how it becomes the NASA that when I mention that name to you, like what that kind of image or all that it encompasses, what that creates in your mind. It's a very un-Hollywood take. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you've got Let me use Wyatt Earp and Tombstone, two films that were released within a very close time frame to each other. Wyatt Earp is generally regarded as a more realistic take on the Earps, and Tombstone is the Hollywood take on it. Like,
they have the pizza.
If y'all haven't seen the 1990s Tombstone, there's pizza does not factor in there a whole lot.
All right. Sure.
Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, fantastic movie.
But pizza.
The two of them, very similar subject, but take two very different takes like on them. Costner decides to go in a more kind of realistic, faithful retelling, and I'm using quotation because they're both movies. Tombstone is a lot more theatrical.
I'm going to throw this out here. Did you know that Wyatt Earp, in his later years, became a movie director and producer?
Yeah. He basically built his legend. That's why I'm saying, like, when I say the true story of Wyatt Earp.
I just found that out a few months ago.
Wyatt Earp sold Wyatt Earp. Like, for all intents and purposes, like, the Cowboys, like, the red sash wearing Cowboys could have been the good guys, and the Earps were just people, like, basically gangsters trying to run over the town. But you know who shaped that narrative? Wyatt Earp. Like, and I wasn't there. I don't know. Like, and I'm not saying that to insult it, but like, that's a movie I'd watch.
Yeah.
Like, somebody just going back and showing that the Earps were actually the villains, like, in that case. But keep in mind, when you get to shape your own narrative, you're the one that gets to say who are the good guys. Everyone is the villain in someone's story.
Is that a direct Adam quote?
I did not come up with that. I don't remember who said it first, but like, it's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I say all that to say, like in that parlance, First Man is the Wyatt Earp of the space movies. Apollo 13 is the Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have not watched Apollo 13, came out in, I think, 95, stars Tom Hanks. Ron Howard directed it. Fantastic movie. This film feel like it doesn't sensationalize like a lot of it. Like, there's not a lot of those moments where, like, you know, somebody is standing with a flag waving like behind them with like horns playing. Like, what they wanted to do in a lot of this was kind of show the sacrifice and the dangers like involved in it. Like, there's a point when, like, they're kind of explaining, like, the Gemini missions and, like, the Apollo missions, and they're saying, like, in order for us to get to the Apollo missions, we have to do these. We have to do all of these things perfectly if we want to land on the moon. Because there's a lot of discussion about them wanting to beat the Russians there, and how, at this point, the film starts, I believe, in the early to mid-50s. And the Russians, at that point, were just ahead of us at every step of the way as far as the space program.
Because they were Russian get there.
Which is, I believe, where the name of the country comes
from.
That
is what I thought.
I think. Mm-hmm. I'll have to believe it.
I'll
Wikipedia that. I'll check. That seems right, though.
Yes. I back that up.
First Man, like I said, it really kind of delves into the meat and potatoes of it and shows you just how dangerous space travel is. Like, they're testing what the prototype for what is eventually going to be the LEM, the one that lands on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And Armstrong has to bail out of it because something goes wrong. He pops his seat, like the unit itself like explodes into flames. And the directors are just like, we can't have you guys doing that. You're too important to this. Like, that's dangerous. If you would have bailed out 2 minutes after this, you'd be dead right now. And he's like, listen, if you're worried about like human life and the cost of that, like, we're a little bit late to be having this because you've had individuals that passed because of malfunctions in, like, you know, copper wire or any of that. It goes through a lot of things. Like, you get to see the sensational parts of it. Like, when the documentaries are talking about, you know, man landing on the moon, like, you know, one giant leap for mankind. Like, those moments that are kind of etched into history, but you don't necessarily think about, well, how did we get there? Like,
right.
Okay, we the manifest destiny. Like, the United States from sea to shining sea. It's great for a song. Like, and in the history books, at least the ones that I read, as a child. Like, they kind of gloss over, like, the stuff.
All the horrible stuff, yeah.
The terrible stuff, like, when, okay, I want to go to California, I get on the interstate, and I drive there. Maybe it takes a couple days. Got to stop and get gas a couple times, like, we, you know, sleep in a hotel. Maybe we get some fast food, but we're there. Lewis and Clark did not have that ease.
Yeah.
Of that there. I mean, you've got disease, like you've got possibly like hostile peoples living in those areas.
Who bears. Who had every right to be there.
Flipping bears. Like
bears.
I'm just saying, like, you had so many different things that...
It's like people who live in Australia now every day.
I don't...
The land's trying to kill them.
I don't think I could do it. Like, like... Australia wants to kill its inhabitants like the island in Lost wanted to kill its inhabitants.
So, the film itself, well made. Did you take aside your deep love of space? You're just some average, I wonder what this is about. Were you entertained?
Kristen also watched it with me and she enjoyed it.
Okay.
Like,
that explains it.
I think it's educational enough that, like, if you're not just completely bathed in, like, the space program, that can you enjoy it? Yes, you definitely can, because she did not have that similar, like, childhood where she consumed everything space and star related,
and Final Frontier related,
or, you know, the Star Wars, like Death Stars, like anything. She didn't, that's not part of her childhood, but, like, she went to see this with me, and she even mentioned, she's like, we need to show this to the boys. The boys would actually like this. Because one of ours in particular, like, seems to have a fascination with aliens and stuff. Like, he seems to connect with me on a very, I don't want to say primitive level, but I understand what that kid's thinking at that age, because I was thinking a lot of those things at that age, and science fascinates him. Some of it's science fiction, to be fair, but, like, it doesn't necessarily matter what gets you into it or what you find fascinating about it. The fact that, like, this might actually make him want to learn about something real and something that's not a lightsaber, like, kind of entices me. And I'm not downing lightsabers, obviously.
Duh.
But no, First Man is an interesting enough movie, and it's got a narrative that you can follow and be interested in, even if the source material is not something that you necessarily constantly, like, just want more information about.
Okay. First Man. Go see it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's Ryan Gosling's there. So, like, I don't experience this with him, but as I understand it, women find him appealing.
He's reasonably attractive.
I'm just saying.
He's not no, honestly, he's not one of the ones where I make a list like, oh, I got Ryan Gosling on there. But if he's on a list, I don't go, oh, take him off the list.
What's going on there?
Take him off the list immediately. That's really all I have there. And I try to talk like this at least once a day.
It's the 1920s. Hey, so. We're about to do it. We engage in war, world war. It's coming here. Look there as the girls wave on to the men.
Godspeed, Ryan Gosling.
This has been your newsreel.
And First Man. So, go see First Man. You like it? Family friendly? Is it just PG? Maybe PG-13?
I think there might have been, like, some language. And I don't mean, like, he's up there just being like, this F in space program, that F in that. We're going to land on the F in moon. You know what I'm effing talking about? Like, it's not, I don't mean questionable language like that.
That would be hilarious.
Turns out Neil Armstrong just love dropping F-bombs. Turns out they had to bleep him whenever he actually gets in. He's like, one giant effing leap. And they're like, whoa, 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 we got to dub this. This is live.
Neil Armstrong, played by Jack Black.
or like Joe Pesci, or like a Robert, like a mid-90s Robert De Niro. Like, I'd watch that take.
So... Basically.
Or that's the guy they can have for the faked moon landing. Oh, Robert De Niro is the, listen, what we're gonna effing convince the U.S. that we're gonna land on the moon. We're gonna take that taxpayer money. Like,
that's
what needs to,
what I would watch.
There you go.
Okay, so First Man, though, a good solid movie. You should go see it.
Yes.
And I want to say that we are now, what, just a couple of weeks away from Grindelwald.
Yes. Very, very, very,
very excited.
We got
about that.
I want to say Grinch is coming up, like the Benedict Cumberbatch.
I know, but
I'm saying it's a significant film, and it's one that you and I will probably cover.
I know. It's just the Ron Howard, Jim Carrey Grinch just turned me
Much in the same way that all of Stephen King's novels remain untouched, whether or not you've got a good adaptation, a bad adaptation. I think we can all agree that the original, like, made-for-TV special Grinch... I'm just saying, like, Boris Karloff in that particular... I don't feel... And, like, I've been wrong about this stuff before. I didn't think anybody could ever touch the Duke in True Grit. Mm-hmm. Like, you had a performance in the most recent, I think 2010, by Jeff Bridges, and I was like, oh, wow, I didn't think that was capable.
Jeff Bridges as the Grinch, I'd watch that.
In a live action?
Yes.
Yes. There's not a whole lot I wouldn't watch Jeff Bridges do.
I'd watch that.
I'd be in. Like, if they wanted to remake the Mary Tyler Moore Show, turn it into a movie, and have Jeff Bridges... Be Mary Tyler Moore?
I'd watch that.
I'd watch it. Like, I think it's weird. I think it's kind of a strange pull, but, like... Jeff Bridges is just good in everything. Everything. Hmm. And they've got Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch. Like, that enough...
Who I love.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's just... And because of that...
And if I'm remembering correctly, this is like the same set of people that gave us, like, the Despicable Me movies. Like, I think it's Illumination Entertainment, I believe.
Okay.
And I'm saying, like, they don't make terrible...
All right.
Movies. I don't think we necessarily needed to revisit the Grinch again, but, like, it's a very popular IP. Like, right. I'm putting it out there.
I'm sure I'll have to see it because I have turned my oldest into the biggest Benedict fan ever.
I'm just, like, he was great as Strange. Like, he was, however you feel about Into Darkness, and it's possibly not
Sherlock.
Yeah. I'm just saying, what has he done? Did you not like him as Smaug? Like, what has Benedict Cumberbatch done that you're
to
just...
To you. He saved a guy who was getting beat up in real life? I mean...
Well, I'm just saying, like, from a standpoint as an actor, I'm not even talking about him as a person.
Oh, he's amazing.
I'm just saying, when in the last 5 years has he disappointed you? Imitation Game, like, that I believe he was up for an Oscar for. When does Benedict Cumberbatch disappoint in the
Never,
acting arena?
Ever. Never.
Somebody somewhere said he would make a good Grinch. And at this point, he has not given me a lot to go, well, I don't know.
Like I said, we'll end up seeing it, but still, I'm not all...
We're about to get into that. Like, we had a big, like, meaty
summer. Yeah.
I'm saying, and, like, you know, what is it? Crazy Rich Asians, What are some of the other ones?
One of my friends wanted to let you know that the girl who is playing the friend, and we were talking about the black scent and all that.
Right.
Apparently, she's a very famous rapper, and neither you nor I knew that.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. Talking to me about, like, famous rappers is like getting me to name five people in the NFL. If you let me...
Currently. I can name NFL people.
Oh, yeah, but I've got... I'm going to be like, Troy Aikman. And,
John Riggins.
Dan Marino. And John Madden.
The brothers.
And it'll be like, Adam John Madden didn't play.
Okay, whatever.
He'll be like, he was an announcer. I was like, but he has the game.
Was he on Dancing in the Star with the Stars?
Is that five yet? And they'll be like, no, that's not five.
Someone
yet.
Named the refrigerator.
I don't... Listen, the rap that I listen to is late to mid-90s rap, okay? Like
Hotel, Motel,
I mean,
Holiday
I'll toss down some DMX on you, but, like, I don't
but
know.
But anyway, she's a big deal, and we did not know that. Now we do.
I still don't know who she is. Like, if I was playing Jeopardy right now, and they were just like, it's Final Jeopardy, bet it all, Adam, you could win... thousands of dollars. I'd be like,
don't know.
Is he Missy Elliott? Is that who it is? And they're like, no, no. We literally just told you what her name was. And I'll be like,
I've already forgotten.
I don't know. Can I still have the money? No, that's not how Jeopardy works.
It should be. Anyway, so we're about to get hit with movie after movie that we are very interested in seeing.
Yes.
Very. Mary Poppins. Dare I say, Mary Poppins.
Returns. Much like Batman
Mary
did.
Poppins.
Superman also returned. I assume it's going to be
Batman versus Mary Poppins.
Fighting the Penguin, maybe?
Yes.
I think.
For the umbrella?
Yes. Think that's what
that's
the movie's about.
All right.
If I remember reading the synopsis correctly.
It's coming soon.
Of course, I'd only slept for 45 minutes and 3 days when I read it, and it could just be a fever dream.
Maybe. Anyway, thank you for listening. Go see First Man. It is worth your while, and we'll have goodies for you next week. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.